More than 300,000 people have been forced to evacuate their homes as wildfires tear across parts of France and Spain. The French military has been deployed in Bordeaux to assist firefighters after several large blazes began burning there last week. The UK's ITV spoke to one French firefighter on the front line who described the brutal conditions that crews are facing.
Ça nous rend triste. On se sent impuissant.
It makes us sad. We feel helpless. We're doing everything we can, but it's very sad. The flames are hot, the smoke is hot, the ambient air is hot. It's fierce, it's moving fast, and there's wind. Nothing about this is easy. It'll be another very long night ahead.
One of the French firefighters there. Well, Chris Boyd is Chief Executive of Aerotech Australia, which is based in Adelaide. And some of Aerotech's aerial firefighting crews are currently battling to control a blaze in the southwest of France. Chris joins me now. Chris, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
What are your crews telling you about these conditions in France at the moment?
Yeah, well, just like the gentleman before just said, it is difficult conditions. And it's something that we're used to, but, you know, our crews as well have been caught up in some of those evacuations. They actually had to leave where they were staying at Merignac and now camped at the fire base. So the logistics, you know, not only affect the public, but also those that are trying to respond when you've got a widespread fire like this. But, no, they're still doing a really good job over there. There's lots of flying every day, most of the day, and in conjunction with a number of other aircraft, both from France and internationally as well.
What sort of aircraft are your crews flying, Chris?
So we've got single engine air tankers over there. They're called an Air Tractor 802 aircraft. They're the backbone of the aerial firefighting industry here in South Australia in general. Mm. And they drop about 3,000 litres of water or retardant on the fire. And there's four of them from our company over there at the moment. And they're actually teamed up with a couple of other aircraft from Spain. And then in addition to that, any other aircraft that come in, they all work together and head out and fight that fire collaboratively.
How do they refill with water and how long does that take, Chris?
So our aircraft are land-based, which means they're on wheels. So they will go back to the airport and there'll be high-flow pumps which pump either the water or retardant back into the aircraft and then immediately they'll take off again. So it's about a, you know, at best it's a two-minute process to reload the aircraft. Sometimes it can take longer in fires like this when there might be a bit of congestion at the airport because there's a lot of aircraft working. But when things are set up properly, they're very fast to reload and return.
And what's the coordination like with all of these different aircraft and crews coming together? Do you have French-speaking teams that are operating these aircraft?
Yeah, that's right. So our aircraft will be paired up with another aircraft that has a French-speaking pilot within it, or we will actually carry a translator in the back with us. And so now air-to-air communications in aviation are in English.
That's right.
But because we're coordinating with the ground crew, it's really important that aviation firefighting, so firefighting aircraft coordinate with the ground crew because it's the ground crew that put fires out.
Mm.
So their strategy needs to be supported by what we're doing in the air. So that's why we have those translators in the back to ensure we're getting that message across.
Gee, that's a high pressure job for those translators having to get all this right under pressure and at speed as well.
Yeah, it is. And it's not a comfortable job either. It's very turbulent. It's very hot. It's difficult conditions to work in. So, yeah, no, they're doing a great job of it.
And do your crews go over every year? Are you contracted, Chris?
Yes, we go over every year. This is the fourth year that we've been working in France. We're back again next year. But, the Australian firefighting industry actually has a long history of supporting Europe with aerial firefighting aircraft. We've got a lot of expertise and experience to export to the world. So it's been happening for quite a while.
Does it take a few days to get the aircraft over from Australia to France at the start of the season?
It takes about a week. It's about 60-odd hours of flying time. Mm. The aircraft are actually reconfigured to conduct long-range ferries. And then when we get them, we reconfigure back to doing aerial firefighting.
taking about a week, it sounds like some of those original flights from the sort of 30s and 40s heading across the world, Chris.
Yeah, it is a bit similar to that. You know, these aircraft are designed to be doing low-level firefighting and agricultural work, so they're not as comfortable as what you'd like it to be on those long flights. But we get it done, and certainly it was a little bit more planning this year with the situation in Iran cutting off those corridors through there. We've managed to get it done and look forward to doing so in the future again.
Australia and France have long-standing connections through conflict and other disasters. How much gratitude is there from the French of these experienced Australian teams going over?
Oh, there's immense gratitude for it. And the way that they perform their aerial firefighting operations is very easy for us to work in with. They've got quite a mature industry over there. There's always room for improvement, but they're very grateful for what we're doing, and certainly very impressed with the professionalism of the Australian crews that come over, whether that's in France or other parts of Europe as well.
Just briefly, Chris, how dangerous is this kind of work for the teams that are up in the air?
The risks in this job are very well managed. Like, we heavily focus on the preparation, the experience, the training, everything in place. We've got set parameters when we do and we don't fly. So really the risks have to be well managed. We don't want to damage something or risk an accident, because that means tomorrow we can't go and do our job. So we've been doing this for a long time, and we're very focused on making sure that we continue doing it for a long time.
Well, safe flying to your teams and the others who are involved in this effort. Chris, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally.